Inside the Cross Podcast.
Welcome to the one-on-one Inside the Cross Podcast, the first of 2013. John Gelati here, joined by a very special guest all the way from the West Coast, the great Connor Martin. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on the one-on-one podcast.
Yeah, coming at you. All right. But I wanted to kind of go over a couple things. The Combro Chill band is coming off, well, I guess a couple nights left on the tour, three nights left. So I guess the first question, how has the tour been this time around, and how are you guys doing?
It's been awesome. We toured with a band up the West Coast. We're playing 12 total shows called With Wallpaper, and we got to play some sweet venues. We got to play the Roxy in L.A., and that almost sold out, so it took like 450 people there. And then the other night we played in San Francisco for like 500 people at Slim's, which is a fun venue that almost, I think that might have sold out. So it's been like awesome touring with these guys, and played a bunch of other shows in Orange County, Phoenix, San Diego, Santa Barbara, Sacramento, and then some Portland and Vancouver and Seattle. And so we've been all over the place, but those are definitely the highlights so far. And it's fun. It's like working, you know, it's growing and playing in front of a lot of people, and they get it. And it's just a fun, fun dance party, crazy show. And someday we'll come around the whole country, but right now the West Coast is our home. So we're here, and it's fun. It's happening.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I did want to ask you about the Roxy as a huge 80s metal fan. That was kind of the epicenter on Sunset of all those bands, and you know, many other famous bands obviously as well. Van Halen, Neil Young, Guns N' Roses kind of cut their teeth there. I mean, there you could go through the list of great musical acts, and they've all played at that place. It's a legendary venue. What was that experience like?
It was awesome. I mean, like, L.A. is kind of a cool crowd, you know, like, they can be too cool, and our band's definitely, like, you can't be too cool and like us, you know, we're goofballs and go crazy, and, you know, we're dancing around and just crazy costumes. So it was, by the end, like, literally, I mean, we've heard about that, we've heard about all those crazy people playing there, and by the end of our show, I mean, people were getting into it, but at the end, we ended with our song, Partied Out. And we just like put our hands in the air, and the scream was like, I don't think I'll ever forget it. It was like the loudest scream. It was so long. I kept trying to talk. I'm like, we're gone for a shit bank. You know, like, and I was like, all right. And we just let them keep yelling. And it was kind of like it was a cool victory for us. You know, we had some fans of our own there, but it was mostly, you know, strangers. So it was cool. It was like we won them over. And I don't know. That's fun. Especially it's like, reminded me of, you know, when those games I had when I was younger, when those games were those breakout games, you know, like I remember in high school having like 3 goals my first game as on varsity, and you know, that was like from then on, that was it, and my game with the Denver with Outlaws, you know, when I got my chance to play, and just those little victories is fun, you know, the opportunity's there, and you take it, and then, you know, people respond, and it's cool, it's a good feeling, that's why you do it.
Are there often those comparisons to the playing field on stage? I mean, do you often draw those kinds of parallels, or is that kind of a...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, no, it's like, I think at this point, you look at, like, with lacrosse and the guys I'm playing with, it's so mental. Like, you know, everyone's fast, everyone can catch and pass, you know, some guys can shoot harder than others, but... You know, it's so mental what you have to do out there. And that's why, that's the cool thing about our game. That's why guys who are less athletic and dominate, and, you know, I don't want to point people out, but, you know, there's definitely guys out there that we're like, how does this guy make it happen? But they get a million assists and score goals. And then you got guys like, you know, Paul and Gravel and Max, who are just makes perfect sense. But, you know, we can still compete with those guys because even though they're way more athletic than us, it's just so mental. The game is so, you know, about your brain, and when you have confidence, which is works in any aspect of your life, it's amazing the crossover. I mean, especially with my 2 jobs that I have, and I just, you know, comfortable in front of pressure situations, and you know, when things go wrong, how do you react? And like, our show is a nightmare. Like, something always goes wrong because it's so wild. We like, I like knock over my guitar half the shows, and like, and we just like break things and stuff falls apart, and you just like keep moving forward. And it's just like lacrosse, like stuff doesn't always go the way you want, and like how you, you know, handle the adversity and things like that. So mentally, I think it's a perfect parallel. And, kind of fun that I get to have the opportunity to kind of be focused and, you know, have like showtime, you know, and like times when I have to get up and make it happen. And it's just like game. So, yeah, mentally it's pretty cool. I'm pretty lucky actually to be mentally prepared, preparing and like exercising my brain so much in pressure situations. cool.
What is the craziest thing that's happened on stage during one of your guys' shows?
The other day, like, kids, like, ran onto stage and out of nowhere and crowd surfed, and they, like, took out, like, a third of the crowd. like, they weren't ready for it, and I crowd surfed in San Francisco, and I, like, almost went to do it, and I, like, looked at the, it was, like, a bunch of, like, younger, you know, like, smaller girls in the front row, and I almost went, and then I didn't, and then I just said, I, like, saw two dudes, and I was like, I'm coming, and I, like total stage dive, like, you know, just ran, sprinted, and I took out like freaking 13 people or something, and I almost hit the ground, but they like slowly brought me back up, and I like saw the girl after the show. She was like, I found the girl I crushed. I was like, sorry. I like gave her a CD or something, and she's like, it was awesome, but I'm like, yeah, sorry for taking you out. That was kind of crazy. And then I don't know, the power went out in Seattle at our show, and we had a big sing-along while they fixed it, and that was cool. And then Steve one time fell off stage completely and off to the side and crushed himself and then staggered back on. I don't know. It's just wild. It's pretty. More stories to come. Nice. You know, there's plenty. It's fun. It's rowdy.
I guess I never thought about the strategic element of stage diving from a musician's perspective. Yeah, I guess you got to kind of pick your spots and not pick out the little guys, but it's interesting.
You got to find out lacrosse fans. Like, if there's lacrosse players there, you're like, where are the boys? Where are the big idiots?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One last question on the Roxy, again, because I'm such a huge fan. The Rainbow is probably my favorite bar in the entire world. I think it's the amount of musical history in that place that's right next door to the Roxy is fascinating to me. Did you guys get over there? Did you check it out at all? Or?
Oh, we didn't. We're very just focused. We don't even have a drink of beer on tour, so it's like going to a bar. It's like, why don't we go to a bar? Yeah, it's like we treat it like game day, you know? It's really funny.
Gotcha.
I played a bunch of games, so we just had like really healthy, a lot of stretching and hydration. I literally have like the same routine before a game as I do in my show. So I didn't check the Rainbow. I'm sorry. I'm not as good at the history. I'm hoping to just be a part of it.
Well, fair enough. But if you go again, you gotta check it out. What, so that pregame routine, concert routine, what is that all about?
I do like the same dynamic warm up we do for games and stretch it out. And it's really just like that. And then, you know, gotta eat right. You can't eat too close to the concert, and then chug some water. It's really funny. I mean, someone the other day, we were touring with a band, and they're total musicians, right? You know, and like half the guys in our band played lacrosse. There's three of us who played lacrosse, you know, sports guys, and my brother too is pretty sporty jock, and they were calling us like neon chops. And it's kind of funny. I'm like, oh yeah, I guess you kind of stick out, because we were like playing volleyball before whatever, any sport or game we can play, we play in the venue before sound check and things like that. And yeah, I guess I didn't realize, you know, compared to musicians, that we definitely have like a funny jock element to it. But the way we dance is all just like power jock moves. So I can't get away from it. It's in my blood.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. I guess, I mean, this is a good segue into the Dance Thief video that you guys just debuted a couple weeks ago. You know, a lot of you know, a little bit of fighting in there and running around and you know, definitely some athletic elements in there. Tell us about that video. Obviously some other crazy stuff too. There's a lot more notable, but nevertheless, just kind of tell us about that video and how it came together and what it was all about.
The video, we were like, our manager was like, you know, we need another video. Like, you guys got a lot of presence on the internet. You know, YouTube's been really our spot where we get a lot of attention. It's like, we need to make a video. But we were like a little burnt out. Videos are very hard to make. And especially at the level we're trying to make them at, you know, like, not, you know, we're really trying to make quality really as good as we can. And it's really hard, especially without money, which we didn't have again. So we're like, all right, let's just make it easy. We'll take it easy on ourselves and make like a chase scene video, and we'll just kind of get a new song out there, and that's what we'll do. And then it just slowly morphed into this 3-month project, and it just kept getting bigger and crazier ideas, and it just got out of control. And so, I don't know, we found these solo wheels that they're like motorized wheelie, like one-wheeled Segways, you know, that you put between your ankles. It took us like a month to learn how to ride them. It was incredible. Like, get really good at them. So it was like the most fun thing ever. And then we like really wanted to put footage of our show, our live show, in the video. Just kind of show people show people our live show and what it looks like. And we're like, we got to film that, because people, you know, we're a video band and we do all these funny videos, but really all our energy is going into our live show, because it's just so much. It's just a full experience, especially in a small club where it's loud and crazy and dance, you know, and everyone dances and goes crazy together. And it's the best form of Convert show for sure. The whole band's there, and it's not just me, you know, talking or something. So we wanted to incorporate all that, and then, I don't know, it just got out of control. And so then we're in superhero costumes and wearing stupid cod pieces and unicycling around or solo wheeling around. And then we get Roman candles because I'm a pyro and blow stuff up. And I don't know. And we wanted to do a story. So we added like a story element where like people, where you have to follow along. You don't just watch the montage, but we tried to get better, and it was a lot of work. And I really hope people watch it, because we tried really hard.
So is that what you were shooting out in the, when you're shooting each other and then shooting that big balloon thing? Was that, those were like Roman candles, or those look like serious pyrotechnics you had working?
Yeah, it was just jam a Roman candle into a Nerf gun and don't tell your mom.
Yeah, don't try that at home.
There's no trigger. It just goes 10 times. It's definitely illegal in Oregon, but we went in the field and we had people sign things. I don't know. No one got here. We're cool.
Nice. Well, we'll move on then.
We don't condone it.
Yes, do not. Try that at home. So as mentioned, you guys are up in Vancouver. Then you finish off the concert Friday night back in Portland. What's next for the band?
I think, you know, we're working around the lacrosse schedule this summer. So it's a one-off, and, you know, I mean, with pro lacrosse, it's a Friday-Saturday commitment, basically. And so, you know, we'll be able to find some stuff, and I think we are still writing music, and, you know, we got to think about the next video and thinking about the fall tour. I think we want to do something big and go for it. And so, I don't know, I mean, but it's also nice, because I've been going pretty heavy Combro for like 6 months, 7 months now, and I'm really ready for the season. And it's so fun. I think, you know, every guy who's working right now and is at his job and waiting for April training camp is ready to get out there and wax it up. So we got, you know, we're just working on getting a label, writing music, and just keeping this going and making this sustainable. And it's been working. And it's slow. The music industry it's just a completely different industry, you know. It's just slow, and you got to grind it out. And lacrosse fans have been great, but, you know, lacrosse is a music culture. I mean, maybe, yeah, I know people listen to music and love music if you play lacrosse, but it is different, trying to make it in music and, you know, actually just playing our songs for lacrosse people. It's very subjective and, you know, what people like. So, at this point, we're really trying to just get our tunes out to any old person and kind of not, you know, separate the two. And let, you know, when I go to Ohio, I'm Connor Martin playing lacrosse, and I'm in a band. It's, that we, you know, that anyone's obviously welcome to come to a concert and like, but try not to jam it down people's throats too much and, let the two exist separately and, hopefully support each other. So I don't know. It's definitely lacrosse season, Elma. So that's definitely the priority for me right now coming up here after this tour. So I'm excited, but, we'll see. Stuff will come up and I don't know. If you got any shows when I play, hit me up. Can't be on Friday.
And how should people get a hold of you? The Twitter handle, or what's the best form of communication?
Yeah, yeah. Our website has our booking agent and our manager. That way, I can just be that cool guy who talks to you and goes plays the cry and doesn't have to tell you what it costs and things like that. But there's a reason that exists. Those great people.
Combrochill.com.
Yep. .com.
All right. So then get back to lacrosse. So the season's almost upon us, which is crazy to think. What should Ohio Machine and MLL fans expect out of Connor Martin this summer?
I'm going to score a million goals. No, you can expect me to try really hard. That's all I can tell you. I think I'm really excited. We have a young team, and actually the core of our team is back. And we all have another year under our belt. And that was basically essentially my rookie year. I mean, I got to play, I played 7 games before that season, you know, total in the last 2 seasons. So, you know, I was basically, that was my first year and a half. And it was really fun to get a full year under my belt. I played against every dude in the league, got used to everyone. And it's just like, you know, now I'm comfortable. And I know, you know, what it's like to get guarded by Brody Merrill. You're like, okay, this is what he's good at. This is what you should stay away from. You know, I know what all the goalies are good at. You just know what people got, and it's really comforting. You know, you're like, okay, I can just go out there and do these things and probably be successful and try some crazy stuff every once in a while. And it's just becoming, just knowledge is power, and I'm really looking forward to it. And you know, as long as you stay in shape and stay sharp on the wall and things like that, you know, you can expect to, you can just expect yourself to like perform, you know, as, you know, I have just reasonable expectations for myself, and it's not a mystery what I can and can't do anymore. Which is fun. It's cool to go into the league knowing what's possible. And, our team, I think every guy, especially like, you know, Steele and Joe Cummings and like Jimmy Connolly and some of the younger guys who got real shots for the first time, it's going to be huge for us as we become, as we go after it this season in Ohio.
Nice, nice. Well, we'll wish you guys the best of luck, obviously. Nice. Will be fun to watch that young team come together. A lot of nice, interesting draft picks coming together too, so it should be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, we can't wait for them to show up. But you can't really depend on them, like, you know, like Steele took like 8 weeks to get there. So.
Yeah, exactly.
But come on. So you never know when they'll show up, but hopefully they bring it. Bomb will be good no matter what. No pressure, Peter.
Yeah, what is your, I mean, obviously both Northwestern guys, what's your relationship with Peter?
I've known Pete for a long time, and we've like shot around in the summer together, you know, when I was in college, and he was still in high school in his first years in college. So, like, we've played a lot of pickup together, and, yeah, I mean, just, you know, it's so small. I mean, think about how small lacrosse is, even in Baltimore, you know. I know it's like, you know everyone, and just think about that in Oregon. So, you know, we all know each other, and I know his game, and I know the kind of person he is, and it's like, he's just fun to know what to expect. He's going to kill it. He's very good. It's like not a lie. You know, he's very fast, and you can't teach that, and you can't teach shooting having a quick release. So he's going to do great. And it's funny that he's from Oregon. It's like, oh yeah, he's from there, but he doesn't play like a kid from Oregon. Maybe he does play like one, because that's how we play. Fast. Shoot hard.
Nice. Yeah. Who would have thought, you know, there'd be two guys from Portland on the same pro lacrosse team in 2013. I mean, that's kind of pretty crazy.
It is wild. I'm sure it'll be a lot of – yeah, I remember he played against us. He was a freshman. I was a senior in high school, and he was out there running around, and I was like, who's this little guy? And then he got really good. He's really – yeah. So I'm excited. That is – yeah, that is bizarre. And but we're doing it. We'll take it.
Nice. And we will be watching. Let's, I guess, staying on that topic and going to Twitter, where I asked for a few questions this afternoon, and thank you for the retweet. Got a few from our dedicated Twitter users. Trent Lockhart asking why you chose Chapman and an MCLA team over any NCAA school. So I wanted to pitch that one at you.
All right. Well, everyone was asked, like, if I had the choice, but, like, I didn't have the choice. I wasn't recruited, so... Why did I go there? It was because I was like, cool, they've got a lacrosse team, but they weren't even good yet. Really. They were still like a 500 club team. And I basically went there because I knew the lacrosse team was pretty good and they had film school and I knew there was surfing. And I was like, all right, that sounds perfect. Let's do that. And, that's what I did. And luckily it was sunny because I got to practice constantly outside and, everyone was cold, freezing their butts off back east. I was like shirt off in January shooting, and so I got a little head start on everyone. I was able to catch up to all the East Coast kids in the sun. It was awesome.
That is fantastic. And going back to, and I mentioned this in the column that I wrote in our December issue, but that the slip and slide video that you made. It's just one of those things that you could watch over and over and it just makes you happy, you know, but, maybe what was that all about and what was kind of the inspiration for that video? That was, at least to me, your first, like the first thing that I saw you ever did.
Yeah. So that was, like you're describing kind of like the theme of everything we do. I mean, whether it's my camps with Boomtown or even Convert Shell, it's really just like a loving, right, like at the end of that video I said love life, and it's kind of like just basically I think it's great advice, but if you just love life or love what you're doing, it's going to be good. You're going to be a much happier person. And so kind of looking at, you know, that video and everything we do, it's that slip, you know, all that, I was part of kind of that theme or that kind of that. I'm basically trying to personally remind myself to do that. You know, I'm not perfect or anything, so I got to remind myself to be thankful and grateful for all the good things going on in my life. But, yeah, that video, I mean, we shot the footage. That was for Come to My Party, that stupid, you know, ridiculous video where I'm acting like an idiot. But that's just a satire joke. It's fun to dance to. And so I had all this really nice footage of, like, just basically probably one of the most fun, like, a really fun day in my life. You know, like, in college, everyone's, it's a sunny day, and there's slip and slide. Like, everyone's young and, you know, no cares. And like, that's awesome, you know. Like, it's not always going to be like that. So I was like, I got to capture this. So I just made a cool little montage to one of my brother's really beautiful songs. And yeah, I mean, but that's what came out of that footage. But that's basically all I'm trying to do. It's just, you know, whether it's a Convert Show concert or a camp or a game, you're just trying to facilitate that kind of experience for people. And that's become my life. It's been really fun. It's like, if I'm around and I'm hosting something, it's going to be fun and celebrating all the good things. So that's what, you know, that's what it's all about. Whether, you know, whether I'm acting like a fool or teaching a kid how to shoot or dancing around or playing lacrosse in front of people. That's my goal.
Nice. Well, it's not a bad way to live, at all.
Trying.
And, another good question from Twitter from Mitch Zink. Do you like playing at Chapman better or the pros better?
They're different. Like college and high school, like you're never going to have those experiences again. So like if anyone's out there listening, you're in high school or college, just really cherish that team aspect that like you're together all the time. It's really a time when you can play for the guy next to you, cause you live with him or he's your buddy or like, you know, you're gonna spend the next 4 years together and you live life together. And it's really special. And I still friends with all my all of my high school buddies who played lacrosse with. You know, those are my guys still. And the buddies in college, you know, the bond we had. And so that's the best part. I mean, I was fortunate to play on good teams in college and high school, you know, in our leagues, and that was fun. So we won a lot. And that was great. And it was cool to be like the, you know, on most of those teams, I was, you know, the go-to guy, you know, and which was fun because it's fun to be a leader and it's fun to score lots of goals. You know, there's all that cool stuff, but you know, the pros are different because you're playing with the best and it's so fun to compete. I'm so thankful I get to continue to compete because like men peak, you know, like a male human being peaks when they're like 27, 28, 29 athletically, you know, and I was a late bloomer. I was a little guy until I was like a junior and I was still like 130 pounds and like 6 foot, like teeny. So, you know, so I'm still like, I still think I have like a, like, growing and becoming a just peaking athletically to do. I've more of that, so it's really great to be still competing at the highest level and still have potential. And when I would have just been done when I was 20, 21 years old, I would have been done with lacrosse in college. And then, you know, I would like just gone through puberty like senior year in college. So, but you know, they're just different. And pros are so fun to play with great guys and meet all the ballers, and it's cool to be like a role player. Like, I'm not like, you know, the ball, there's guys who get the ball and their stick at the end of the game that aren't me on the machine, you know, and that used to be my deal. And it's cool to be a role player and help the team and, you know, get your couple goals for the team and do your job. And it's just different. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I wouldn't change a thing about like what I've gotten to do. I got to do the team thing, and now I get to play pros, and we'll just do this for a while. It'd be awesome.
Nice. And then one more Twitter question from Dave Franklin, who covers the MCLA for us, was asking your thoughts on the Oregon Chapman game back on February 16th. That I know was a tough loss for Chapman by a goal, but your thoughts on what you saw in that game?
They're just playing. I love it. I mean, I think Chapman, for a while, I thought we like would walk into any game and win, like because of being Chapman. And we lost Story in my senior year because we thought like that. So, yeah, it's good to be humbled and, you know, a little reality check. And I think Oregon actually should have beat them by a lot more. They missed like 6 doorstep goals. So, sorry, Chapman. You guys gotta get it going. But it's cool. I mean, you know, I love both programs are cool because I went to Chapman and I'm from Oregon. And so Oregon, Oregon State, and all the other teams in town or in the state, it's, you know, I'm rooting for everyone to make it happen. But, yeah, I don't know. I just like watching lacrosse, so I'm not really very prideful about it. It's just, it's cool. Just go play. It's fun.
Nice.
I'm not going to yell at anyone over it.
What's next on the Flow Society side with what you have going on with those guys?
Yeah, we'll just probably do some events where I get to come out, and mostly inside the lacrosse events will be hanging out with kids, and they're going to support my camps, you know, and I'll be giving out fun, cool gear, and yeah, just same deal as the last couple of years, and it's been great. So they really have supported me, and it's been unbelievable. I mean, basically the reason I get to live this life and sustain, you know, going on tour and chasing all these dreams and playing lacrosse and having a lot of time to train is, you know, because of their support. So very thankful for them, and they've been super supportive literally over the last couple of years. So big ups to them. And yeah, I'll be around, and I'll be back east and hanging out and be able to see kids and stuff, especially at the Inside the Cross event. So should be fun.
Excellent. We at Inside the Cross, as always, look forward to seeing you and doing a great job. But the shows that I have seen, Mile High Classic last year and Big City Classic, thought, you know, it was a blast seeing you. You guys run around at the venue, so that was cool. So looking forward to doing some more of that stuff. Cool. Well, then, anything else that you want to add? You want to throw out there to your loyal following?
Sorry. Love you guys. Anyone, you know, thank you for all the support. I mean, actually, I've been feeling good lately about I think it's a little like Commodore Chill stuff, I think people realize that it's like, you know, obviously some kind of character or amplified version of myself, and still appreciate all the support. I know a lot of, you know, the surprise is gone. It's like, oh, another video from this crazy guy. But really, the lacrosse community has been the foundation, what we've jumped off of, you know, as we chase that part of my life and the band and things like that. So it's been all the support and all the love from people. And so thanks, all you loyal followers. And just, I guess, I'm really thankful that I get to continue to play. And I think I could tell anyone, you know, just be grateful we get to play this best game in the world. So awesome. So great. can't get enough of it. So that's it. Gratitude. That's all I got for you, people.
Gratitude from the reigning Laxy Personality of the Year winner yet again, a category that we may just have to make you exempt from if we keep going this way.
Yeah, I think you should just, I'm good. Just let's get some other guy going. It's, you know, you guys gave me the cover. It's very nice. I got to wear neon and I got to wear some pink pants. So it was cool. Enough. Enough pink pants for the lacrosse covers.
I don't know, man. The cover was fantastic. I do want to say that. You did an awesome job on that. So I think that worked out well. Well deserved.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Maybe we can get Queener back in some pink, some neon.
I like that. I like that.
Or Jovi. I'd love to see you. Yeah. Yeah. So let's get Jovi Nation and some neon. Some neon tights.
I can, you know, he used to rock that pink and whatever his colors were. Pink, it was kind of similar. Pink and turquoise, I think he had a stick or something, but gloves maybe, I don't know. But we'll work on that this summer. There's a lot of time before the Laxy's voting kicks in, so a lot of politicking can be done, a lot of campaigning.
It's all politics.
Yeah.
Thanks, John.
Well, hey, mate. Yeah, appreciate the time. Best of luck with the rest of the tour, and we hope to see you this spring back east.
All right. Goodbye. Take care.
Inside the Cross Podcast.